Okay, Shem Yishmuel on page Ayin Gimel, he has the following thing. It says in the Medrash, that after they sold Yosef obviously was very upset, so he was crying, fasting, davening, like he was, you know, all the way down to Egypt. In Egypt, Reuven, who had blown, who tried to save him, but didn't do a good job, and because of him, in a certain way, he was guilty. So he was also fasting and crying and davening, trying to do tshuva. And Yaakov was fasting and davening and crying, trying to do tshuva, because he lost a son. The only one who did something was Yehuda, it says. Yehuda went and got married, got a wife and had children. So it's funny, the Medrash points out, Yehuda was also very guilty, obviously, most guilty. He's the one who came up with the idea to sell Yosef. But he didn't go into mourning, some kind of depression. He just went ahead and got married, built a family, have children. There's a whole story in the Chumash about his family. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating Mashiach, because from that family of Yehuda comes Mashiach. Eventually, Tamar marries Shelah, the third son, and then she has two boys, Peretz and Zerach. And Peretz is where Mashiach comes from, David and Melech and Mashiach. So from this story of Yehuda comes eventually Mashiach, David and Mashiach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working on Mashiach. While all these people are in the sackcloth, fasting and suffering, God says, I'm building Mashiach. That's what the Medrash says. Okay, there's a lot of things you can say about this particular Medrash, but he has a certain take on it, the Shem Yishmuel, a certain take. Okay, his take is, when there's a tragedy, a person has a tragedy, God forbid, so the normal reaction is, person gets very upset and basically gets emotionally upset and down, and you don't know how long he's going to stay there. He's crying and he's upset, he's davening. You don't know how long that's going to be. That's what we call the normal reaction. You see here that that's what the reaction of these other players were. Reuven, Yosef, Yaakov. A terrible tragedy that happened, so they went into a sort of a mourning, repentance mode. But Yehuda, he went and got married. He went ahead with marriage. So that's a very unusual reaction to tragedy. That reaction is that the tragedy is not going to stop me, but I have to do good things. I had certain plans of doing, building, creating, going forward. Even despite the tragedy, I'm going to do those original things. Go forward. That was the difference between Yaakov, Reuven, Yosef, and Yehuda. Now, he says, really, the thing is like this, that it's a question, where does it come from? What's the point which Yehuda has, which these other three players, great people, Reuven, Yosef, Yaakov, they don't have that point. There's a tragedy, they go into mourning, upset, praying, fasting, doing tshuva. Maybe you can have to repent. He doesn't. He just goes ahead, goes on with good things. What's the point of departure? He says the point of departure is if a person has himself or herself as a priority of their thinking and actions, or they don't think about themselves at all, they just think about others. Or if a person thinks about themselves in any way, then they're gonna have this. They're going to go down in a certain way after the tragedy. They're going to get upset. have to just grapple with it because it affects them, this tragedy. That's what the average person will do. Because the average person, a certain amount, is going to, even a tzaddik, thinks about himself. Because he's evaluating and say himself, what am I doing right, am I doing wrong, where am I up to in the ladder, I'm climbing a spiritual ladder, how far have I gone, where can I go? His own spiritual needs are part of his central focus. That's a normal average person, and tzaddik, that's normal. That's the way a person's supposed to be. So therefore, when there's a tragedy, it affects me, definitely going to hurt me. However, and in a way, it's good, because if there's something to fix about myself, that tragedy, which makes me focus on myself, will hopefully lead to a tshuva. I'll fix what's wrong about myself. I'll try to see if there's something I'm doing wrong, and that will be I'll fix it. So it's good that the reaction to tragedy is a personal sadness, melancholy, getting upset. It's good, because that's going to lead to a resolution, soul searching, and that soul searching will lead, hopefully, to a resolution of becoming better. You come out of the tragedy stronger. Usually a tzaddik will have a tragedy, he'll come out of the tragedy stronger than he was before. He'll be better, because he uses the tragedy as a stimulus for self-evaluation and self-improvement. Because he's thinking about himself, because this tragedy hurt him. So that will be a motivator to get him to fix himself and become even a bigger tzaddik. As we see tzaddikim go through tragedy, we find that by and large they come out of it bigger tzaddikim. It does hurt them, they do it very upset, and then they grapple with this sadness and melancholy, and they work on it, and they find things that they can improve with, and they improve and they come out stronger. That's what it is. That's the general way. That was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he lost a son. Very difficult. Disappeared. Didn't he have a funeral? Just disappeared. So many people say that losing a child is the worst tragedy a person can go through in this world. Worse than any other thing. Worse than being sick. Worse than losing even a spouse. Losing a child is the worst possible psychological trauma a person can suffer from. And if he disappears, it's worse than just dying. Because dying, at least there's a cemetery. You see, there's some closure. But if he's disappeared, it's terrible. So that's the worst of all the possible psychological. And Yaakov Avinu was definitely effective, it says. He couldn't get over it. Yosef, also terrible. Kidnapped, sold into slavery for the rest of his life in ancient Egypt. It's an absolute worst possible thing after losing a child that it could happen to anybody. So obviously he went into a lot of being upset, crying, soul searching, praying. And Reuven, who was the firstborn, he blew the whole thing. He should have been in charge and kept the family together, but he lost it. So these are normal people, normal tzaddikim, who let the tragedy affect themselves and work on it. Sometimes you can come out of it. Reuven never came out of it until he finally found Yosef, which makes sense, because if a child disappears, you don't come out of it ever until you finally find the child. There's some closure. It has to be a closure. Otherwise, it's a wound which is always bleeding. So that was going on with Yaakov. Yes?
I really like the idea. I'm not understanding how it necessarily fits with the story, because it's like all the brothers, they actively sold Yosef. And like to say that like Yehuda gets married right afterwards.
We didn't finish the story, but I only did half the story. I didn't finish Yehuda yet. Okay, so we have three people who react normally to the tragedy with guilt and being very upset and and going down, so to speak, emotionally into mourning, into all kinds of things which you do with when you have tragic events. However, one person didn't. The one who didn't was Yehuda. He was, in a certain way, the most guilty because he's the guy who came up with the idea to sell Yosef. He doesn't. He just moves on and he gets married. So you have to say that the law is, the Shem Yishmael says, how do I understand the psychology of Yehuda? He's a person who doesn't think about himself. He was focused and getting things done. Now, he explains a very interesting thing. He says like this, a human being, especially a Jewish human being, we have a double agenda. We have a double agenda with our life. One agenda is ourselves, and what's going to be with me. But there's another agenda, which we're part of, what's going to be with Hashem. So, the average Jew works this double agenda. There's me, I have to take care of myself, do my mitzvos, not do my averos, get my life in order, etc. And then there's another agenda, I have to do God's work in the world. I have to, whatever, build a family, raise children, according to Torah mitzvahs, do chesed, visit the sick in the hospitals. I do God's work. So I have a double agenda. That's an average person. That's a tzaddik. But there's very rare people, very rare, who have no personal agenda whatsoever. Only God's work. Only God's work. I don't know if you ever met anybody like that. I met one person like that. Really. Very rare. Very hard to find a person who has no personal agenda whatsoever and only God's work. You know that tzaddikim. Of course, the average tzaddik certainly has a personal agenda too. Very rare tzaddik who only has God's work as their agenda and nothing else. What happens to me is irrelevant. I don't even think about myself. I have to do God's work. I wake up in the morning, I jump out of bed, I'm running to do God's work. The whole day till I finally go to sleep. I'm going to sleep because God's work is for today is ended, and I have to go to sleep, get energy for tomorrow's God's work. That's what I'm doing. I have nothing else. So, on the one hand, that's fantastic because this guy is basically, he's on the Hashem machine all the time. So he's going to do a lot of tremendously good things. But there's going to be a price he's going to pay. The price he's going to pay is his self-improvement is going to be flawed because he's not focusing on himself. So if he does something wrong, that might linger there because he's not turning attention upon himself. He's so busy going ahead doing other good things on the outside, he doesn't even focus on himself. I know people like that too. And also very rare, but there are certain people I know like that. They're so busy at Hashem's work, they can't at all think about themselves. And they suffer on a personal level. But it doesn't bother them because they think about Hashem's work. They're not thinking about themselves. So I have a certain person in mind. I know him. He's an amazing amount of personal suffering. Never, ever, ever complains. Never, ever talks about it. Nothing. He's just busy doing Hashem's work. And he winds up in the hospital plenty of times because he neglects himself. He's so busy doing other people in Hashem's work. Okay, so it's rare. It's one out of, I don't know, I would say one out of 1,000 people are like that. Good people, fine people, tzaddikim, only one out of 1,000 is completely, completely selfless. No care about themselves whatsoever, only Hashem's work. Now, that person will suffer because they don't really focus upon themselves. They never fix things. If it happens by itself, it happens by itself. Through Hashem's work, so there's good things coming out of it. But certain things they'll never fix because they're not focused on themselves. So he says that was what this match is trying to say, that from these four people who reacted to this incredible tragedy of the sale of Yosef, three reacted like most people, like everybody, upset, guilt, sadness, you know, basically stopping doing a lot of things because you're down, you have no energy, you have no optimism, you're down. So that's Reuven, Yosef, Yaakov. One person kept on going like nothing happened. That was Yehuda. Not because he was callous, because he was too busy doing good things. He was too busy doing good things to let the tragedy affect him. It's a very interesting point. And he says, that's why this Medrash says that from Yehuda comes the Mashiach. Hashem says, this comes from the Mashiach. This leads us to the Mashiach, because Yehuda comes David. As the outcome of this whole thing, selling Yosef, he moves ahead and gets married, and eventually comes Peretz, and Peretz is the forefather of David, and from David comes the Mashiach. So, because they're so focused on doing good things, and he knows, he says, I have to build family, because family is the core of what we're doing here. What we're doing here is building family. It's not me. I have to build a Jewish people. We have to move forward. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and now us, the brothers, have to move forward. I have to build the Jewish people. I have to have family. I have to have children. That's the focus. So that's basically what he wants to say, the Shem Shmuel. But it's a very interesting idea, even though the truth is that, as we said, only 1 out of 1,000 people are like that. But it's a very good idea, because it's like Hashem himself, he has a plan. He wants the Jewish people, obviously Yaakov and Jewish people, and David, and go ahead and get to the Mashiach. That's the plan. Really, even though there's the bumps on the way, let's say selling Yosef really derailed it, because without selling Yosef it would be much better. To solve Yosef brought them into Egypt, and then there was the exile, and so everything. God has like many, many backup plans. So it's going one way, and then there's something which pushes the train off the track, so it comes in with a second plan, another push off the track, and a third plan. But the goal, you're going to get to the Mashiach. We're always going to get to the final goal. God is not going to let all these bumps along the way derail the train from getting to the goal line. It will get there. So, because God doesn't go down. You know? People go down. God never goes down. There are certain people, 1 out of 1,000, who will not go down, no matter what happens. They will stay on that track. They know what they have to do, and they go do it, no matter what happens. It's very interesting. But in a certain way, that's Hashem. Hashem is like that, too. He has that goal. That goal is is inevitable. It's immutable. It cannot be changed. And some people are like that. There's a rare breed. Those are the ones who bring Mashiach, basically. That's what he's saying. That's what brings Mashiach. That kind of mentality. You know what you have to do, and you just keep on doing it. It doesn't make a difference. Any obstacle, forget about, but not besides obstacles, any disappointments, any frustration, any failures along the way, don't stop us. We keep on going. Failures are nothing. It's just another way. Just mean I have to maybe take a different way to get to the goal, but I'm going to keep on going to that goal. That's what it means. That's what these people are like. They don't let anything throw them off, these 1 out of 1,000, the people like Yehuda. But those of us, we're the regular normal types, the 999 of 1,000, we should learn from this that We shouldn't. We should try as much. Of course, we have to. We react to tragedy. We react to failures. It bothers us, and that's normal. It's good. We come out of the failure, hopefully, with a lot of new life lessons, and we learn from our failures, and we become stronger and better. But we always keep that goal. We don't let ourselves, because there's failures along the way, we don't let the good goal disappear. So, oh, I'm not going to go for the goal. I have to go for that goal line. That at least we should learn from this message. Now, if you know what the goal line is, you just go there, no matter what happens along the way. There will be failures along the way. There has to be, because that's what life is all about. But a little bit we should learn from Hashem himself. He doesn't let all the failures with the Jewish people, you know, make. But that's basically our basic difference between us and the Christians and the Muslims. They say, because Jews failed along the way, so God abandoned the Jews and chose them. And the Christians came up with a very interesting theory. They say they cannot fail. So God will never abandon them, because they say all failures have been atoned for by their human God. He atoned for every failure. So anytime a person sins, if he's a Christian, not a problem, because there was one person, Son of God, so to speak, who suffered for everybody else. So therefore, God made that final choice for the Christians. And the Muslims have their theory why their choice will never change. So, but we are the first choice. We know that God never changed his choice, despite all our failures. So we have to keep this in mind, that we have to go for the goal line. That's why I was speaking yesterday. It's a tragedy when you see what's going on with American Jews. So many millions of them intermarrying and becoming non-Jewish. It's basically they're giving up the goal line because of the disappointments along the way. I'm not saying that not, there are plenty of disappointments along the way. We had a Holocaust only about 60 years ago, whatever. It's not 70. It's not such a good thing to go through a Holocaust. But you have to keep that goal line. You are going to go there no matter what happens along the way. Even if you go down and you get temporarily derailed, that's what life is all about. There are disappointments, there are setbacks, and they set you back. It doesn't mean you drop the goal. That's what we have to learn. That's very, very important. And I wish we knew a way how to get this message out to our brothers and sisters in America. Don't abandon the goal because of temporary setbacks, or problems, disappointments, failures along the way. You know? It's a very important message. Everybody, we take this message to heart for ourselves. There will be setbacks. There will be failures. But we will move forward. Even though we do feel the failure, we're not like Yehuda. We're like Yaakov, like Yosef. They felt the tragedy. They went down. They got depressed. And it took time to heal. But it doesn't stop from the goal. We're going to come out of this and move forward. And probably come out of it stronger. That's usually what happens, we're stronger. So those who are blessed, the 1 in 1,000, to be like Yehuda, not to get upset at all, and just keep on moving forward, that's unbelievable. But those people are models for all of us. We do get upset, and it's normal, and we should get upset. But we learn from these very rare people that keep the goal, keep on going towards the goal. No question about it. That's what a true Jew is. Doesn't abandon the whole thing because of the temporary setbacks which come along with life. That's what life is all about. Life has plenty of temporary setbacks. I think it's upset you. Yes?
I understand why we give such a... we're praising Yehuda. So it's like, to me, it seems like the opposite. It seems like he didn't care at all. Like, he threw his brother in a ditch and then he wants to go to Yehuda.
Not the shame of Shmuel. The shame of Shmuel, the Chassidim, have a general view of things, stories in the Tanakh, as well as Jews. The Chassidim will always give it the good spin, the right, always say that what the person did was a tzaddik, not, Chassidim don't like criticism of Jews. Chassidim always look, the Pasuk says, look at the good things. Yet you should get Yosef Karduna's latest tape. You ever saw his latest tape? Has a beautiful song there. He's a Breslov, a Chassid. So a lot of people are very excited about this one song, a lot of good songs, the last tape. But this one song says like this. It says, God knows that every person has good things and bad things. Every person has positive and flaws. However, God does not look at people's flaws. God always looks at people's positive things. In the same way, when I look at another human being, I know that this other human being has positive traits and negative traits. I must follow God's way. God looks at only the good traits in a Jew. I have to look at the good traits in my fellow Jew, not the bad things. That's the song. It's a very nice, pretty song. And has a good message. But this is a central theme of all Hasidic thought. Always look at the good, not at the negative. So if you see somebody, the Gemara says it, right? Kala omer David HaMelechata ein ela tova. Someone who looks at the bad says David HaMelech did a sin, it's a mistake. You have to look at the good. So he's looking at Yehuda. He's not saying Yehuda didn't make a mistake by selling Yosef. He's saying, though, his reaction was great. Because his reaction was, we have to build more. We made a mistake. We have to build more. You can't give up the ship. You can't shut down. So go more. Build more. Have more Jewish. So we made a mistake. We saw that in the Holocaust. A lot of the rebbes and the rabbis in Europe told their people not to move to Israel because they thought that Hitler was just a joke, it wouldn't be anything. And Israel, they said, is not religious. And here in Poland, we have a beautiful religious life which has been there for 1,000 years. So why go to Israel where it's secular, anti-religious community, Jews, and it's so it's staying. So they made a big mistake. 3 million Jews were killed in Poland. Terrible mistake. But what you saw after the war was that these very same people who survived, the few rebbes who survived, like Belzer Rebbe, Klosenberger Rebbe, Satmar Rebbe, they came, Babava Rebbe, Babavitcher Rebbe, they came out of the war with nothing. Nothing. These are people who had 50,000 Hasidim in Poland, came out of the war with 5 Hasidim. Nothing. They had empires, come out with nothing. They didn't say, we're going to stop. They said, we're rebuilding. And today, you have 50,000, 100,000 Lubavitch Hasidim, 50,000, 100,000 Gera Hasidim, and Belzer Hasidim, and Satmar Hasidim. They went from a handful of people after the war to tens of thousands, each group. Because they said, we're not stopping. Now, the best reason in the world to stop, first of all, the massacre, second of all, the guilt of making such a mistake not to let people leave Poland to go to Israel. So it's better stay in Poland. That every reason in the world to stop. But they said, we're moving ahead stronger than ever before. So we see that worked. This is Yehuda. This is David HaMelech. This is Mashiach. That's what the Shem Shmuel says. This is what it is. Jewish faith, Jewish optimism, Jewish persistence. That's why God picked us, because Am Kshei Oref, because we're stubborn. It's called Azuz de Kedusha, the stubbornness of Kedusha. That's what the Hasidus is very strong about. You're stubborn in your Kedusha. Keep it going. Despite every setback. No setback can stop you. Nothing. There's a Klosenberger Rebbe Tzitzal, he lost in the Holocaust 11 children were killed. He came out, remarried, and had another 11 children. And he built Kiryat Sanz, which is a huge place in Israel. As today, maybe 30,000 Hasidim. I mean, he died, but his children. It's unbelievable.